Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
DU back to the NCAA tournament. They missed out last year for the first time since 2007 as Judd Caulfield comes in. The follow-up is buried by Tyler Clevin, and it's 2-0 North Dakota.
Boy, big hit. I think that was Clevin.
Tyler Clevin at the blue line.
In the back of the net!
Oh. Big hit by Tyler Clevin.
Here is a member of Alaska Fairbanks as Clevin hits the post and finds the back of the net.
What a night for the No Deck Sens. It's 2-1 North Dakota midway through the second.
Canadian Tire Center. In the Box continues on TSN 1200. It's a battle of the old expansion cousins. Tampa Bay Lightning in town to take on the Sens tonight. Lightning are going to be here again before the end of the regular season. There's only 11 games left on the docket for the Sens. Also of note, it is the return of Nick Paul. Going to face his old team for the very first time since he was dealt at the deadline last season in a transaction that saw the Senators land Matthew Joseph, and there was an injury update on that. He's been skating with Cam Talbot a little bit, according to the GM, and should be getting back into the lineup at some point before the end of the regular season. And Talbot could be tracking that way as well, but maybe a little too early to tell, and we'll see when both of those players have a chance to skate with their teammates again in a practice and or a morning skate. And I say it that way because there's not many practice days really left on the Senators' schedule with how dense it is down the stretch here. Other injury notes as I'm talking about injuries, Parker Kelly's got a broken kneecap. That was an update today. Yikes. That doesn't sound comfortable for Parker. So his season's over. We didn't mention this yet, Graham. Graham Creech co-hosting and producing today. Anton Forsberg is going to get on the ice at some point in the not-too-distant future. He's not going to play. It was interesting, though, how the GM worded that. He's out for the regular season. So, hey, listen, you never give up hope until you're mathematically done.
11-0.
All right. 11-0, or I think 10-0-1. We'll see. But that's good news, as he had a couple of injuries. MCL in both knees. Didn't need surgery. That's good news, but looks like he's getting to the point where he's getting healthy enough he can get on the ice. So that's a good sign at the very least there. Oh, okay. Let's get right to it. Teed it up for you. We are going to play you an interview that aired live on TSN 1200 earlier today. It was an in-studio visit at our studios down at 87 George Street from somebody that did not need directions to the studio. He had hosted many shows when he hosted his I Run show, as he was also his regular gig, was a host on our brother station, 580 CFRA. He is now the mayor of Ottawa. And Mark Sutcliffe sat down with JR and Simmer to talk about the sale of the Ottawa Senators, the prospect of a new arena, where that will be, the Commissioner Gary Bettman coming to town, and all of it. So here it is, the conversation with the mayor, Mark Sutcliffe.
Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are coming to town, the commissioner and deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League, on Monday.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the hockey game, but they're also, and maybe you can kind of take us through the nuts and bolts of what you understand of, can you confirm you're going to be meeting with them? And B, do you have any idea of what you're going to be discussing? Or is it just all Gary Bettman talking and you nodding your head?
So I'm looking forward to meeting Gary Bettman. I spoke to him on the phone a couple of weeks ago. And looking forward to meeting Bill Daly as well. We're going to sit down and talk, and obviously, you know, I'm really pleased with how the NHL has been handling the sale of the team. They've made it very, very clear from the outset that the Senators are not going anywhere, that they are committed to Ottawa. They believe in Ottawa. That's really important for the community to hear. Ottawa is a great market, and I know the Senators can be successful here permanently. And so, you know, I'm sure we will talk about what the new ownership will mean, what some of the opportunities are with regard to LeBreton Flats and a new arena. I think it'll probably be high level and general, but I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. But the Senators are here to stay, and I think there's some great opportunities under new ownership to strengthen the relationship with the community and look at a new arena.
20 years ago, the team was bankrupt. Have you gotten any calls from other mayors of saying, is this, how lucky are you to be taking hold? And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it really does, Mark, feel like everybody is working together now. And with the value of the franchise, the interest, my oh my, this is just incredible.
It's so different from the last time, right? Like, if you think about the last time the Senators were sold, it was basically out of bankruptcy, and it was the team was sold at, and the arena were sold at a discount, basically. And now you've got a whole bunch of interested parties and potentially six groups that are bidding, and from among those, some very serious bidders, huge price tag. Ryan Reynolds is interested in our team and our community, which is really exciting. And I think this is about more than just a hockey team. It's about the future of our community, and whether it's Ryan Reynolds or it's another group, I think that's true. And when you see, you know, I watched that Welcome to Wrexham series, right? A team is so important to a community, especially where, you know, a city where you've got one team in the major in the four professional North American leagues. It's so important to the community. And so to have this level of interest, I think, is very validating for our city.
With Mark Sutcliffe, the mayor of Ottawa, it will, you know, the new owner, if they do decide to go ahead with a new arena, and I think the expectation is that they will, will play a large role in determining where that arena might be. But you will as well as part of city council, potentially. You know, how do you look at it upon where the rink is built? Do you think it should be and has to be downtown?
Not necessarily, but I think, you know, I think ideally it would be. It all depends on where it would be built and what the deal would be and what would be around it. But in principle, I think we've seen throughout North America that downtown arenas are better than suburban arenas, typically. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility that whoever the new owners are might decide they want to stay in Kanata and refurbish that arena and stay where they are. That's obviously a possibility. I wouldn't rule out, you know, the deal being struck with the NCC for LeBreton Flats, and I wouldn't rule out looking at another location as well. I think all options are on the table, and it's really about what's best for the community and what's best for the team.
Are there other, I mean, there's been so much talk about LeBreton, and I know that, you know, there's a memorandum of understanding to work with the Sens organization, you know, under new ownership. There is a very, at this point, very small parcel of land within LeBreton to build it. You know, the footprint, I guess, could become bigger. But are there other pieces of land, potentially, that an arena could be built that are in and around the downtown, be it off Lees Avenue, be it where the RCMP building is? Would you be open to potentially putting it in one of those spots?
I'm open to whatever makes sense, and I think there are other opportunities. We're building a transit system, a modern transit system that, you know, obviously the LeBreton site is great in terms of its proximity to transit, but there are other sites close to transit, where the baseball stadium is right now, where, you know, Herdman Station, Bayview Yards, you know, there are all kinds of places that are close to transit where you could see building event centers and facilities that large numbers of people would use. So I think all options are on the table. It'd be great if the LeBreton thing went ahead, but it's not the only scenario.
Bigger picture, when you see in Detroit, I'll go to Washington, D.C., but most recently Edmonton, if you looked at the vision for the city, though, do you not look at LeBreton? Because it's very seldom. I was saying the other day, a lot of the major cities in the U.S., people moved out, so you brought it back. When LeBreton's sitting there, do you also look at that just big picture that could really reshape the city, unlike a lot of other locations?
Absolutely. I think it's a great location. And it's, you know, it's right between two transit stations, which is fantastic. I would also say, you know, it's not right downtown. Like, if you live in Kanata, LeBreton Flats feels downtown. But if you, you know, if you're downtown, it's not walking distance from Elgin Street for most people, especially in January. It's not close to yet. I mean, that area, if there's an arena, will get built up. But when the arena opens, there may not be a lot around it in terms of restaurants and bars and other activities. So it's a good location, but it's not the only location necessarily.
With Mark Sutcliffe. So inevitably at some point, there is going to be, I'm going to guess, and maybe Gary Bettman will bring it up on Monday, and ask about the city and the potential of putting something toward the new arena. And obviously, again, that decision ultimately lies with the owner and what they want to do. And maybe they'll buck up the entire thing for a new arena. Doubtful, based on what we see in other North American cities. How do you square the idea in your mind of a guy, a series of people are going to spend $1 billion or so, well more than $1 billion Canadian, to buy a team and then ask for public money in part to be built, to help build a new arena? How do you square that in your own mind?
Well, I'm not a fan of public money going into an arena. I wouldn't be supportive of that in principle. I'm not ruling anything out at this point because we don't know what the scenario will be and what the opportunity might be. I suppose there are, you know, there are always options where, for example, if they're building a facility and it's got more than one rink surface in it, and the city could use one of those and it would replace an existing aging facility somewhere, you know, and it's infrastructure that the community could use. I wouldn't rule out a scenario where there are some city dollars going into it. But I want to be clear, by saying I'm not ruling it out, it doesn't mean I'm in favor of it. It doesn't mean I support the idea of the city writing a big check. I think that's very, very, very unlikely that the city will write a big check to support this. We have a very, very tight budget, and we have a lot of other priorities, including building more affordable housing and building more transit. There are other ways that the city can be involved in this without stroking a big check. And I don't think that's, you know, I don't think there's a lot of public appetite for taxpayers' dollars to go into an arena. So I don't see that happening. But again, I don't want to rule anything out because there's no deal on the table. We don't know who the new owners are. We don't even know where they're going to build an arena, if they're going to build an arena.
It will be, in all likelihood, though, if it does happen, a massive project. We've kind of gone through this on a smaller but still big scale with Lansdowne.
Sure.
Do you look at Lansdowne as a success?
I think Lansdowne has been a success so far. I think there's more that needs to be done, obviously, with the Northside Stands and the arena. But if you look at what was there before, it was, you know, a lot of concrete, not a lot of people going there very often. Stands, the Southside Stands were falling down. The arena was in pretty rough shape. Now when I go there, you know, there's a farmer's market, there's activities for kids, there's the theater, there's restaurants, there's people walking around. It's a much more lively and engaging place. And I know, you know, I have a 23-year-old stepdaughter. You know, I think you and I are about the same age, John. And when we were kids, we went to the Byward Market. You know, my stepdaughter and her peers all go to Lansdowne. Mm-hmm. That's where they go. And so I think it's been a success. I know it hasn't been a financial success in every way, but we also just went through a pandemic. I think we need to look at that and move forward with the new Northside Stands and a new arena, and it can be even more successful.
Everyone wants to separate politics and sports, and as you say, anything to do with the handout mark is always gets raised, as it should. But should people also simplify this a little bit? This is a partnership. This is basically like doing a business. If you have somebody coming into your city, buying a hockey team, wants to build a new building, plus redevelop some property, you're going into a partnership that should be able to benefit the city, you know, and whatever the deal ends up being, but make it work for both sides.
Absolutely. It is a partnership. It's a huge opportunity. And there's so much that can happen around the arena. You know, if it's at LeBreton Flats, if it's somewhere else, there's the potential for a lot of development and a lot of growth and hopefully some affordable housing and some other attractions and some other things that are going to make the area appealing and make the city an exciting place to live, an exciting place to visit. So I think there's a huge opportunity here, and the city will be a partner in that, even if we're not writing a big check.
Mm. Do you look at, and again, everything is based on other people's and other groups' timelines as well, but kind of in your mind, have you sort of thought about, you know, if everything works well and we can strike a deal, whatever role the city plays in all this, of when you'd like to see a shovel hit the ground and, you know, and maybe a new building being opened somewhere, wherever that might be?
Yeah, that won't be up to me. I mean, I'd love to see it happen as soon as possible, but it's really up to the new owners. They're going to be in the driver's seat on this, and I don't know, you know, who are the new owners going to be, and what are they going to want to do? And the other thing that I'll mention is, you know, there is the Canadian Tire Centre is an important economic driver for Kanata and for the west end of our city, and I want to make sure that if the team does move, that we do something with that site that is going to continue to be an economic driver for that part of our community. I don't want that to just sit empty. So I've made that clear every conversation I've had with the senators that we got to have a plan for that site. And if there isn't going to be a hockey team there, there should be some other kind of big attraction that will be an economic driver for that area. We don't want to abandon the people of Kanata and Stittsville who are used to having, you know, jobs and activity in that area. And we don't want, you know, the restaurants and the other amenities around there to suffer because of that.
How nice has it been in the last year? Because I know you're an Ottawa guy and you're also a Sens fan. How exciting is the product? Because we can talk about new ownership and building, but again, a bit of that perfect storm. This is all coming together, just a perfect time for what we see at the young hockey team.
It is, and that's what I think is part of how exciting this is you know, for the new owners, they're going to be buying a team that has a lot of great young talent and players who are signed to long-term contracts. And, you know, I can tell you as a Senators fan, I used to be a partial season ticket holder and I used to go to a lot of games. And then, you know, I had kids and they weren't the right age to bring to the game, so I didn't go to quite as many. But there was a period there where a lot of people lost interest in the team. Look, let's be honest.
A lot of people were upset.
There were
we lived it in this place.
I mean, you know, there were times where I might even going back 3-4 years where somebody would invite me to a game and I'd say, I'm okay. Yeah. I don't need to go. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way anymore. You know, my son is really into the team and we've been to a bunch of games this year. You know, players like Brady Tkachuk and even having a guy like Claude Giroux choosing to come back to Ottawa. You know, I had a chance to meet him the night that Chris Neal's jersey was retired, and I thanked him for choosing to come back to his hometown and play for his hometown team, because I think that sends a really strong signal about what we're building here. The fact that a guy like that would choose to come back to Ottawa, I think, is huge. So I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, it all seems like it's headed in the right direction. We'll see how it all unfolds over the next weeks and months. So we appreciate you coming in. Before you go, my friend here, and I know you got a night, you got a piece of paper. So for those that don't know,
Simmers insisted,
and we thank you for listening, by the way. Simmers insisted on referring to you as Suddy, which doesn't. And I know you're not a your worship kind of guy either.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not, no.
So, but I don't know that you're a Suddy guy. But I don't know. I said this the other day. I don't know you're a nickname guy.
Have you been
a nickname guy? Or?
So Gord Wilson used to, you know how original Gord can be. Yes. He used to call me Suts.
Well, that's a hockey. Yeah,
I worry about messing that one up.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. But Earl McRae, I just remembered this the other day, the late, great Earl McRae, longtime columnist, he used to call me Mark the Shark.
Okay.
You know, only because it rhymes, not because of
anything
else.
Okay.
But no, I'm not really, you know, you said it the other day, John, like, you know, you look at me, you don't think, you know,
outlandish nicknames.
Scarface, you know, Maverick, you know, any Iceman, nothing like that. But I did, you know, I went looking for some potential nicknames.
Okay.
Because I heard you guys talking about
this. Are we making a decision here?
Okay. And you can look at television. So like Diamond Mark Sutcliffe, you know, Diamond Joe Quimby, you know, from The Simpsons.
Sure.
Sugar Mark Sutcliffe.
Sugar. Okay. Because
boxing's a great source of nicknames, isn't it?
Sure.
Marvelous Mark Sutcliffe. I kind of like that one.
Oh, that is a little Marvelous Mark Sutcliffe. Very similar.
Shoeless Mark Sutcliffe.
Okay. Although, you're a big baseball guy, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. Mark the Refrigerator Sutcliffe.
I don't know. I don't know if you have the size for that one.
No, I go to the refrigerator a lot.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? We do a web poll question every day. Diamond, Sugar, Marvelous, and Shoeless. Depending on how this arena thing works out, we'll maybe choose one of these.
Okay, great.
I know you used to model when you're younger. What about Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate you coming in and providing
this
our listeners some insight. And it's going to be a really interesting next few weeks and months and maybe a few years while this all unfolds. And it'll all be under your watch, which I'm sure is part of the fun for you as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a great opportunity for our city. And just think of the possibilities of having, you know, a new arena, potentially new ownership that's deeply invested in the team, that has the resources and that we need, just a fantastic, young, talented team to be cheering for. I think there's a lot of energy and momentum around this right now.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, there's Mark Sutcliffe, a large portion of the interview. If you want to hear it in its entirety, we just cut off a bit of the beginning. Started it where we got into the nuts and bolts of what's happening here in the coming days, weeks, months, and as JR points out, years, with wherever the new rink will be situated. First things first, team will be sold. We're going to know that part of the process in the not-too-distant future. The commissioner, Gary Bettman, is coming to town on Monday. That is the game, home game for against the Florida Panthers, and we'll be meeting with Mark Sutcliffe, and that process continues. So there you go. Any thoughts on what the mayor had to say? What you liked, what you didn't like? People, you'll read into things, right? We all do it. Let us know. Send it in at 12-1200. We'll take a break, and we'll get into that. Next, on a Sens game day, live at Canadian Tire Center, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning in town tonight. 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to it. 12:30 in the box continues on TSN 1200. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech with you today. And you knew it was just Creature because whenever Creature is a producing co-hosting, he just does the some sort of a play on Double Lloyd off the top of the show, which he did today. That never fails. But Creature is working hard, very busy. Got a lot of sound for us here, co-hosting the show. And we're ready to continue on here. I asked for your input after we just replayed you the conversation between the mayor, Mark Sutcliffe, and JR and Simmer this morning on TSN Mornings. If you missed it, it's up on our website at tsn1200.ca. All kinds of good information about the process, about as transparent as you think somebody at this stage of the process can be. So Mark Sutcliffe answered the questions as best he could. These are the facts at this stage. Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are coming to town. Mark Sutcliffe will meet with them. He spoke with Gary on the phone a couple of weeks ago. So that will happen. We'll talk about the future of the Senators sale process, building, where it's at, all of that. So that will take place in a private conversation, obviously, early next week when Gary Bettman is here. And he's going to be here for the Panthers game. Now, as you know, maybe you don't, most NHL fans, if you've paid attention the last number of years, Gary Bettman visits everybody every year. He makes a point as a commissioner of the league to take in at least one game and then make himself available to the media. And Gary Bettman will be available to the media on Monday. So we'll get a chance to hear from the commissioner when he's in town as well. But, of course, the timing of it, no better time to come to Ottawa than now when you're really starting to get to the finish line through this sale process, and you're having at least, it seems, six groups come to town starting this week to get a closer look at the operations, being invited into the second phase of the process. So, and then a lot of you are wondering, and you're hearing the way Mark Sutcliffe spoke about it. I'll give you my thoughts in a minute, but I'll get to some of the texts that come in here. This one comes in. Wasn't impressed with the lack of vision on the mayor's part. The location of the new arena can't be solely decided upon the new owners, and Sutcliffe sounded like a politician ready to bow to the demands of developers. Shocking. Matt says, am I the only one questioning his fandom because he can't pronounce Brady's last name properly? And somebody else LOL'd at that as well. I'll tell you this. Mark Sutcliffe, that was a stumble. Mark Sutcliffe, he is a Senators fan. You know, I think everybody knows Mark used to work with us for a very long time. Mark Sutcliffe is a Senators fan. That was a stumble. What else comes in here? Rob writes, I thought Bettman was coming today with all the police and security downtown. No, as we know, Rob, that's Biden coming into town here as well. Tango asks, if a new arena is built, should the CTC become the permanent home of the B-Sens? I would doubt that, Tango. This is quite the facility for an AHL team.
You know what it should be? Top Golf.
Okay. Just a Top Golf or just part of it?
Well, I imagine you'd need a good chunk of that space if you wanted to be Top Golf, wouldn't you?
Well, this has been thrown out. We can have fun with this here because Mark Sutcliffe and part of his, and he offered that up, right? He says in his conversations so far with the process with the Senators, and you, obviously you're speaking with the board at this point, would like to see, he's driving home the point, he would really like to see if the club does move out of Kanata, and it looks like they will, right? And we'll get to maybe some politicking on that front in a moment. Do something with this footprint, with this building. Like this building, they've started the upgrades already. Club Bell is relatively new. They not that long ago put in the new clock. It's not like they haven't put money into this building, but we're getting towards the end of a life cycle of what a modern arena is, right? We're approaching 30 years. How time flies, right? So either if you stay here, it's a massive, massive renovation, like a big facelift. Or, I guess, potentially, could you build beside it and tear this one down or wherever, right? Because you already own the land. And I'm not saying that's going to happen because I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll get to that part in just a moment. But ideas have been thrown out in the past. And I know that Eugene Melnyk had said in the past that he did have, he went on the record and said, yes, I have plans in place for this building and this land to do something else with it if we move downtown when the LeBreton process started the first go-round. That unfortunately didn't get across the finish line as there was lawsuits involved, as we all know. Top Golf is one of them, creature. It's been thrown out there. What about like a make it an indoor water park? Maybe a whole water park indoor amusement park like a Mall of America in Minneapolis, something like that. How about, something we don't have around this neck of the woods at all, like a Great Wolf Lodge kind of a place as well? Turn it into a family destination that way. Maybe just make it into a super mall in general. Whatever, right? There's all kinds of things you could do to turn this building into something that's obviously not a hockey arena anymore. Like Maple Leaf Gardens there's a grocery store part of it, and then of course got the smaller version of the sports facility for the university there as well. Like there's options. So I'm curious, like anybody else, what that looks like eventually. But what I'm more interested in is where the arena is going to be. I still think it's going to be LeBreton Flats, right? Graham, chime in any time here, but I really think a lot of what Mark Sutcliffe is saying and his answers there, that's the mayor playing it smart. You don't know which way this is going to go, who's going to be the winning bid, what the negotiations are truly going to be like with the new owners of the team and the NCC. There are some other opportunities in the downtown area to potentially, and we've talked about them. What is the future with the RCMP moving mostly out to Barrhaven with that site that's across from the ballpark? Like, that's an interesting site because it's got good Queensway access. That's the one thing about LeBreton Flats. Unless you're taking transit, and it's great that transit's there, it's not the easiest thing to get to if you're going to drive to the game as well. And there still will be people that want to drive to the game. right? That would be the one thing about the LeBreton site. And I don't think it's a big deal because of we have rail, and the rail's it's going to be extended out even more. And make your LRT, is it running jokes? I'll listen to those all day as well, right? But it's also, it's great that where it is, it's very close to downtown. It's on transit. It's very accessible to access your Gatineau side fans, even more so. So for all these reasons, and the biggest one is, because I remember years ago, and this is how long the process, you know, we've been down this road. When I heard, like, I didn't believe it. I'm like, the NCC, they started this. The NCC started this process, not the Senators. The NCC, they came out and said, all right, we're making land available for bids. We're looking for an event center, and we're looking for development. Let the bids come in. And we had that process. And I thought, the NCC is doing this with LeBreton Flats? For years, Bruce Firestone wrote about this in his book. For years, people have approached the NCC about developing that land. And every time it was lip service stuff, oh, yeah, we'll take that under advisement, basically. And the behind the scenes answer was, nah, not a chance, not going to happen. It was just like, it was ridiculous for years of not developing that parcel of land. Because other parties had tried, the Senators tried way back in the day. And that's what, you know, Firestone wrote about that, went into detail about what that process was like, right? So when that happened, I was like, so this is another reason why I think it behooves the NCC to follow through on what they were really driving at. This is what they wanted. The event center, come on, it's a new arena. It always has been. That was the whole point of going through this. And then we get into LRT. Why do you think they put two stops on? Essentially, you didn't need to, right? You didn't need to put two LRT stops, one at either end of LeBreton Flats, basically. I wonder why that is. Because they're looking at massive development. It's going to be an event center for the big, big anchor for the whole thing, but it's going to be more housing. It's going to be restaurants. It's going to be Shaw. It's going to be developed, finally. So the NCC, it's just one man's opinion, just my read on it. You're still going to try to get the best deal you can for that, for usage of that land, but you're kind of pot committed, right? In many ways. The city is, the whole LRT thing, the NCC, but the way they've set up the process years ago. So I still think it's going to end up being there. It's just a matter of negotiating, going through this whole process. But it's smart to say there's other options because everything is a negotiation. It was smart, of course. Well, yeah, there are other sites that other parties could look at. And that's smart on many levels. Everybody that's put a bid in for this team, why would you say that you're locked into the NCC? Why would you say that? I don't care if you're the Remington Group, you're the Kimball Group, you're the Andlauer, whatever. Doesn't make any sense. Why corner yourself? As Lou Lamoriello has always told us, if you got time, use it. Why would you go out and say, well, we're sole sourcing this? In any negotiation, that anything you do in your life, why would you do that? So that's kind of my read on if you're skeptical, oh, I can't believe bowing to developers. I didn't hear that. I didn't really hear that. I heard the mayor of a city who's a politician politicking a little bit, which is expected. That's what I heard.
Yeah, we heard it the same way. He was answering like a politician. But I will say it's hard not to see it there, especially when you're hearing how much this franchise could potentially go for, $900+ million, $1 billion. The reason that the value is so high in part is due to getting that land and a new arena and events center in a great location. So they're not going to lock into something. They're not going to give any bold statements about where it's going to be for sure. But I think it's pretty safe to assume that it's probably going to be there.
All right.
all kinds of thoughts are coming in, and a lot of thoughts coming in what they want to see in this building at CTC. So why don't we take a break? We'll have a little fun with that as well. Dean Brown's going to join us as our Sens at NHL Insider, Graham. That's going to happen just after 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on this process. And, hey, listen, we got a game tonight. Should be a fun game, entertaining game. Another quality opponent for the Sens to face, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's a 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock faceoff. It appears DJ Smith did not say who his starter was, but Matt Sogard was in the starter's end this morning, so I think it's safe to expect that in the Sens cage. Jacob Chychrun did not take the morning skate, but he just missed it. He had an appointment. He's fine. He's going to play. And the coach did offer up. He's going to be using Chabot and Chychrun quite a bit, he said tonight, as a tandem. Offering that up in his morning availability. Something else to look for there. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, let's get to your suggestions here, thoughts on it. But this building, it's Mark Sutcliffe in the interview that we replayed for you, offered that up. He said in his conversations with the Senators, he's trying to impart upon the board and the Senators, I guess, make sure that you don't forget the people of Kanata. If you move out of this building here with this whole sale process, is there something in the works? And the only thing, like I said earlier, the only thing that I know is there has been. Eugene Melnyk said, yeah, he had something that was he was working on that he thought was going to happen, and it wasn't the right time to talk about it because they hadn't finished up what he thought was, at the time, moving to LeBreton. So it's been discussed by the Senators organization in the past, so we'll see what that looks like in the future. I mentioned this one here, but this this text came in. Didn't they take the old Maple Leaf Gardens, keep the rink, but turn in the various levels of the building and the mall of some sort with stores and grocery store? Exactly. That's what they did for the old Maple Leaf Gardens. We should turn the CTC into a real soccer pitch, not like the bouncy Lansdowne. Every other big city has a real field. All right. Every other city's got, I don't know about that. I know what you're saying, though. In your perfect world, you want a grass pitch. So I guess what you're talking about leveling this place and building a brand new soccer stadium out here?
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Oh, that's just mean. That's just mean.
If I get an opportunity, I play it.
All right. I can't see that one happening, but okay. Hey, boys. Yeah, I saw this. I only mentioned it because it had been mentioned before, but there is more recent news of the area, which is exciting for a community near Ottawa. Hey, boys, Great Wolf Lodge or so thing is would be fantastic here. I know they're supposed to go to Cornwall, but might be able to change their minds. Cheers, Patty. Yeah, that's pretty big news for down. You want to talk about a city that could use an influx of something ever since the mills. As you know, every time we used to cross the border, that was the smell of money. Well, the smell of money hasn't been in Cornwall for a very long time with the mills closing. But, yeah, Great Wolf Lodge has purchased, I think, about 40 acres of land beside a golf course near the 401. And at this, they're doing their due diligence, the parent company. And that is, at this point, going to be their first foray outside the U.S., really, and coming into eastern Ontario. And they've picked Cornwall. So there you go. The aquarium's been brought up again here by Dolphin Dan. Put an aquarium on that spot would be so cool. Take care from Dolphin Dan. So keep those thoughts coming in about what maybe this should be here. Now let's get back into the other, about where the new rink could be. It's become a conversation on two tracks, Graham. Where should we begin? Let's begin with Big Rick. Wherever the building gets done, I sure hope that it has more washrooms than the arena the Clippers owner was so enthusiastic to let the media know about. Okay. Can't have too many washrooms.
I'm pretty sure they flushed all of them at the same time in their lead up to that to make sure that if that were to occur, that it wouldn't explode, basically.
Well, every new building has to do that. That's part of passing the code. And I remember, I know Cyril Leader in the past has been on the station and he's spoken about that and they were nervous because, all right, it's supposed to all work. We got to flush everything at once for this building. And it worked, obviously. Big Rick says, in fact, maybe a floor, ring of floor has urinals, half walls that allows us to not even leave our spot. What? Never missing the action. That's right, says Big Rick. Big Rick basically wants a catheter in every seat. Is that what you're saying, Big Rick? Don't answer that. I think I know the answer. Pasquale writes, Civic Hospital location. Once the new hospital is built, I will scream this until someone listens. Off-ramp from the Queensway, public transportation, just down the road. Cheers, Pasquale. Not bad, Pasquale, but I just don't think the timeline's going to add up. With the new hospital construction closer down to Dow's Lake and where it currently is, I like your idea. I just don't know if the timing of teardown or what needs to be built when could work. But, hey, not bad. I'll listen to that. Stephen, as a Chelsea resident, I'm looking forward to a potential LeBreton Flats Arena. Let's get the Hull Strip revitalized. Le Bop, Chez Henri, and Bistro, are they still around? Oh, man. How about Ozone?
Le Bop. Oh,
man. You forgot Shalimar and Ozone. Well, what did it call? Before it was Chez Henri, dating myself, it was called City Club, right? Sorry, it probably wasn't when you were going, Graham. That's somebody that knows the area and knows that I might have frequented the Strip back in the day as well. Yeah, okay. Hey, guys, I think it's a no-brainer that it has to be LeBreton Flats. It's close enough to downtown, access to restaurants both sides of the bridge. New developments will happen as well. It's a good base right now. Off the highway is pointless. Shouldn't be about access to the highway. It should be about access to local establishments. A 15-minute walk is nothing. We already do it for Blues Fest. There's downtown, Hull, Preston, restaurants, and walking distance. Thanks, John. Yeah, John, you're right. Like, it's... I only brought that up because if you're going to nitpick on how to get there, if there's one thing, there's no direct, hey, here's a ramp, and you can go right there off the Queensway. You're going through neighborhoods. You're going down Preston. You're going, like, Bronson,
do you think
whatever.
They close, like, on game days, have some of those streets being one way to the rink and others being for, I guess, local residents? Like, would you have to do something like that? Because, I've been down on Parkdale and some of those spots at rush hour, and it's a complete and total gong show.
It is. It is. And that I'm only bringing it up as if there's one transportation downside, there are still going to be people that want to take their cars. That won't change, right? It'll be pared down because once LRT is, well, there's more trust in LRT and as it's built out further. So, you don't got to take a bus to get on at Tunney's, that it goes all the way out and eventually goes all the way down to Barrhaven as well, right, and to the East End. And there's talk, of course, the plan is eventually going to put a track right down the middle of the Portage Bridge and connect with the Quebec side. But this is years away still, right? That's the only reason I mentioned that. And, Graham, yeah, you're bringing up the same thing here. It still will be a pain to take your vehicle, but the point is to not take your vehicle. But I think we're still,
yeah, like, but I think obviously the plan would be to use public transit, but there, as you mentioned, there would be a number of people that would still want to drive, and yeah, with no rink currently there, it's a gong show and yeah, rush hour. So that's something would have to be done, and I don't know if it's like where you open it up to only people going to the game and
yep,
and it's both ways of the street or something. I don't know.
Well, look, they kind of do this anyway for Red Blacks games, right? Big events down at Lansdowne. You know, how you use Queen Elizabeth changes There's a big police presence and directing of traffic, both on Bank and on Queen Elizabeth. Like, there are, to your point, that we that already kind of happens as well. So, all right, one more before the break. The land is so contaminated, don't forget, there were houses down there. My dad grew up off Preston. Used to go down there and steal coal off the trains. The costs are going to be so high. I really like the old RCMP site, I guess, rather. Yeah, it's people don't know the history of LeBreton. Massive fire in 1900. They rebuilt it after that, but that caused a lot. But the other thing is the Mint used to dump their sludge there. The Mint, making coins. And I know that this has already been pretty much, it's been thought about and priced out. And I said built into any kind of development. They know about this. But yes, to clean it up properly will cost money. But this has already been kind of factored into this entire process. Anyways, we got to go. Dean Brown's coming up next. Sends an NHL insider, voice of the Sens here on TSN 1200. It's a game day. Dean and Gord will have the call tonight. 5 o'clock is your pregame show. Puck drop at 7. It's the Sens and Lightning at Canadian Tire Center tonight on TSN 1200.